I Suck at Dating with Mike, Ben, and Stephanie, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, we are back again. It's me, Mike Cawson, with Ben Higgins and Stephanie Pratt. And we're here one more week again, as we usually are, to help you at dating, because we all suck.
Oh, no, I think I'm just the sucky one now.
Only you? Why?
Well, Ben has a new girlfriend.
Yeah, I feel like I'm hitting my stride.
You're doing something right over there.
Yeah. Who's the girlfriend?
Her name is, by the way, I got to start this by apologizing. I got the flu, so I'm going to be a little stuffy, a little bit congested, and that makes for a great podcast host. But my girlfriend's name is Jessica Clark. She was born and continues to reside in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay.
She is an Ole Miss graduate and is a very, very sweet person. So we've been dating for 4 months now. So I'm new, I'm fresh, but I am in a relationship.
Okay, then you still probably need some advice.
Oh,
right?
Yes, 100%.
I obviously need advice. Michael, how's your relationship going?
I know nothing about dating. I'm probably the worst at dating because I'm married, so I really know nothing about... It's one of those, I feel like I would have that fear if I was thrown back into the dating pool, I wouldn't know what to do.
Ooh,
I really don't know. Like, I think just in 4 years of being married, I think things have changed enough, maybe?
Well,
I don't know.
We have a really special guest on this week's episode. Marnie Batista is coming in studio.
Fantastic.
And she is a relationship guru with advice. So I also want to know what she thinks about how you chased Jana. I think that is like the coolest story ever.
Well, thank you.
He literally on Twitter, he was like, I'm coming to your show 4 days later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I can't wait to hear what she thinks about that approach, because I think the direct approach is everything.
All right.
Yeah, so she's coming on later, which is great.
Do you think, I mean, Stephanie, you're the one here that's single. Are you sick and tired of people trying to give you advice on how to date? Oh, or are you into this?
I love it.
Really?
Well, duh, I suck at dating.
I don't like it.
How many, I feel like nowadays, since, all right, Ben, you are new into a relationship. Stephanie, you're still single. How much of it is through social media? Is that like just the only dating pool?
I don't actually, because I don't good really, I'm not a good social media person. So I've like never looked at messages or DMs. I don't get notifications. I mean, for all I know, Garrett Hedlund could be like hitting me up and I don't know. But and I also am really scared of dating apps. So I really like advice, because that is like the way now. Everyone is online, and
right.
Like even Wells, you know, met Sarah online. And
right.
Did you meet your girlfriend, Jessica, online?
Can we have a little story time?
Yes,
please.
Okay, so this is how Jessica and I met. I was in Nashville, Tennessee for a fundraiser. I was staying at the Hilton, which is downtown Nashville, right next to Bridgestone Arena, which is where the Predators play. And there was a hockey team checking into the hotel. And I got curious, and I was like, I wonder what hockey team this was. I'm going to go up to my room and get on Instagram and look at the top posts from this location, because somebody's got to have posted from here, and it'll help me find out what team it is. So I went upstairs, and I got on top post, and Jessica's picture popped up. And I saw it, and I was like, that girl is stunning. Who is this? So then I did what every normal person does. I clicked on it and started creeping on her. And I noticed, yeah,
she's doing that to her right now, by the way, on my phone.
Yeah,
I'm
she's
Googling Ben Higgins and Jessica. Okay, go on.
And so I saw this, and I was like, I don't know what to do. I'm not going to message her because that's weird. I'm just going to screenshot it, and then if some point I'm feeling confident, I'm going to message her. So I screenshotted her profile, totally forgot about it. 6 months later, I was cleaning out my phone because I'd ran out of storage, came across the picture, and I was feeling good that night. It was Thanksgiving evening. I had drank a little bit,
yeah,
and so I messaged her, and I said, hey, Jessica Clark.
You said Jessica. Clark.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah. Well, I
like that. I like the full name approach.
Yeah, you know, let's be formal at the start. And so what happened was, I messaged her. I said, I don't want you to ask too many questions, because I don't want to tell you how I met you or how I know you. Let's leave that for some time that we actually get to know each other, and then I'll explain. And she messaged back, and we haven't really stopped. Well, we haven't stopped talking since.
Wow. No,
that's my story.
That's a pretty direct approach, too, like you're saying, Stephanie.
Yeah, what was the first meetup? It was like a pretty much a blind date, wasn't it?
Kind of, yeah. So we had FaceTimed and talked on the phone for 3 weeks straight, all the time. And it got to the point where I was just getting frustrated because I was interested in her. I was excited about her. It was a new thing. And so one night, it was the opening of my new restaurant. And I texted her. I said, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I texted her. I said, get a flight out here as soon as you can if you're interested in coming out. And so the next day, she showed up.
You didn't fly her out?
I was about to say, she got her own flight?
No, I did. Oh, no, no, okay. I did. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. God. Yeah.
We were about to jump on you.
Jeez. No, so she flew out, and we spent the first weekend together, and now we see each other probably about every 2 or 3 weeks, and it's been, what, 4 months?
Wow.
So it's new. It's exciting. She's just great. I mean, I've got a lot of issues, and I've never met anybody that, just like knows the issues, loves me through them. Like just like, is like supportive and backing and just like gets it. It's really fun.
All right. We have someone special on the show to help us with all of my questions, Stephanie's questions, and Ben's questions. Her name is Marnie Batista. She's a dating coach and specialist, and she's coming on here soon to help us out with all our problems.
Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. Over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date. It's actually fun and takes less than a minute to complete. Third Love helps you identify your breast size and shape and find styles that fit your body. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, return it and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. Fit stylists are available every day to help via text, chat, or phone. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. I don't know about you guys, but I've always had a problem finding the right bra size. With Third Love, guess what? They come in half sizes. Literally, there is a fit for every woman. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they are offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/Vanessa now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase.
Good for you, man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's thanks. Awesome. Well, we have someone, a specialist here, to chime in on this. Now in studio is Marnie Batista.
Yay!
Hey, thanks for coming.
Hey.
Thanks, welcome Marnie. To our podcast.
I'm super excited to be here.
Thanks for coming on. So we are here. Our podcast is all about We Suck at Dating. We have Ben, who's newly in a relationship, Stephanie, who's single, and I'm married, so I'm definitely bad at dating. So
thank God.
Yeah, thank goodness. It's probably a good thing.
But you have to date your honey.
Exactly.
Oh, interesting.
I'm married
there
too.
We go.
You
I love
totally
it.
Have to date your honey.
I love it. See,
legend.
So talk about.
Let's hear about this.
All right. So let's go ahead and dive in. And I was asking Ben and Ashley again. Ben's recently in a relationship. Stephanie's still single. What do you see out there nowadays, Marnie, with your expertise? I asked the question of, is everything just based around social media? Is everything through DMs? Is everything through connecting with each other? Like, how are people meeting in an old-fashioned way?
Well, I think the thing is that it's a buffet, right? Like,
right.
And that's kind of a problem because, you know, you go to a buffet and you just want a little bite of everything and there might be something coming. So you save a little room. So I think that people are really limiting themselves emotionally because of that. There's always a little guard up. But if you want to meet someone who is sharing your passions, you still got to like get out.
Right.
Right. Like you got to get out in the town.
Do something.
Well, yeah. And when you're out doing stuff that's just normal, like Starbucks or Trader Joe's, people are on their damn phones.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right?
When I go out and I get like all dolled up, I stop doing this and I'll go put myself at the bar, like basically like, guys, come hit on me. No one talks to me.
Are you on your phone?
No, I'm never on my phone, actually. You don't know this about me, but I'm Amish. I swear to you, I'm going to stop saying it. I say it every week on the podcast. No, I'm not on my phone. I like make myself very available. I don't have my arms crossed. I mean, I'm basically saying, you don't even have to buy me a drink. Just ask me what name is.
Have you ever initiated a conversation?
Well, I was going to ask that.
Yeah, I mean, if the bar is crowded and someone's like cute, I'll go towards them and I'll be like, oh my God, it's so crowded. You know, like I will, but going out gets me nowhere. I stopped doing it because I'm just like washing my makeup off at night, just being like, oh, this
Which
sucks.
Is so annoying.
The worst.
The worst. So here's the thing. Maybe don't go to bars with the intention to like get hit on. Because what I'm thinking is you might have a vibe of like hit on me and an actual nice guy might be intimidated by that.
Because
mm-hmm. you're really beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is you're sitting there like and you've got this like hit on me and someone might interpret that as, are you good enough to hit on me?
Ugh. I could see that. And
I'm just screwed.
Well, no. So what I'm thinking is if you're less... I want you to be intentional, but if you're less like going with the mindset of like hit on me and more like I want to make some connections and you also go to places that aren't like places where men hit on women and you're just feeling like natural and comfortable and doing your thing and you're open and you're not waiting for that, you're going to be more approachable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like dress scandalous. Like when I go out, I'm always like, I hope there's hot guys there. There better be hot guys there.
Well, so what you just said, there better be hot guys there, is like then the energy's like, there better be hot guys there. And that kind of leaks out. But if you're just going someplace and you're just not going with that intention, my guess is from doing this a long ass time is you're more approachable.
Huh.
I can see that because just reverting back to the days that I was single, going out with my buddies and... thinking in my head the same thing. I hope there's hot women there. I hope there's hot girls there. And I hope, you know, get lucky tonight or something like that. The nights you go out with that mentality were the nights we're going home alone. And then the nights that you just kind of went out just to hang out with your friends and have a good time, things just happen platonically without you even trying. And it just happens. You're like, oh, I wasn't even expecting this, but here it is.
You're just more chill. Also, guys are much better at doing that than women. Because like if a bunch of guys go out, and I'm sure you've seen this, you got right, they're just actually out having a good time. They're just hanging out. They're not really focused on that.
That's the thing. They're just hanging out with each other.
Yeah, but that's what guys do. So that's what guys do. It's so annoying.
But Marty, I got to pause you here for 1 second, though. I'm listening to all of this. Everybody has great advice. Everybody has this good insight. But what makes you the person to give this advice? Like, where does your background come from that now you're a dating expert?
Right here.
I love that. Yeah. Because, Ben, I sucked at dating. I got married when I was 22.
Wow.
I know. Basically, because, you know, I slept with a guy and then he called me the next day. So I was pretty stoked about that.
He's the one.
That's the one. I'm like, yes. So I got married, I didn't know what I was doing. I was pretty unhappy, but you know, it was a different generation-ish. And then I was just really unhappy. And so I got divorced and then basically a younger, hotter guy, I met him online. He's the same guy with a different face, super douchey, but really hot.
Which online?
Craigslist used to have this thing called Miss Connections.
Oh my God, I remember those commercials.
Yeah, so... my girlfriend was like driving in LA and she saw this guy in a Tahoe. And then my other friend had met someone on Miss Connections. So I was totally like stalking Miss Connections. Right. And I totally like wrote to this guy and he wasn't the guy who she saw, but I just started talking to him.
And he's your now husband?
Hell no.
Oh,
right. No, I just totally did the same thing. Like I thought it was the ex-husband. But it was just me.
Everyone's done that.
Well, totally. So I figured out a different way. So back to Ben's question. So I dated in LA for like 5 years and I really figured out how to do it with like my dignity intact and feeling really good about myself and feeling like I was choosing. And I dated a lot and I had a lot of fun. And then I met my husband who's super hot, 8 years younger than me. And we've been together for 10 years. But now I studied a lot and I'm certified and all that kind of stuff. But now I've been coaching men and women for the last 10 years. And I have like an incredible success rate. Because everything that you're doing is what most people do. And it's totally counterintuitive to do it any other way.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I, for pretty much 5 years, I was never looking because I live in London and I have 3 businesses over there. And then a TV show that I do. So it was just work, work, work. Like I put work before my family, before finding a boyfriend. All my friends are getting married. They're having babies. And I'm just like turning into this weird single lady in her 30s.
Totally.
So I never put myself out there. But now since I've been back in LA, I've been wanting to kind of just to share experiences with. You know, like this year I actually have time to travel and I went to travel with someone. Like I just went to Hawaii last week by myself. So, you know, I want a partner to do things with me, but it's just, I don't know if it's just LA. I mean, I'd love to hear what you think, but yeah. I feel like every guy here is just like, you know, I could sleep with any girl and they just wait for girls to come up to them because they know they will.
So the other thing is, if you're getting guys like that and you're looking for an actual high quality guy, he's not probably out, you know, like at a bar.
But this is like nice, like Dantana's, Craig's.
It doesn't matter. Uh-huh. It doesn't matter. Honestly, like, the kind of guy that you really want is a different guy. When you're meeting the same kind of guy over and over again, right? The results are showing you that you're like picker is off. You're not attracting like a high quality guy who's looking for partnership. You're looking for someone who just wants to hook up, someone who just wants. And by the way, if you're a little ambiguous, like, do you want like a serious relationship or do you just want like casual dating, right? You have to get really clear on your intentions because that it's almost like you have an unconscious radar.
So where can Stephanie find, like, where do you go to find these people?
Well, who are you, like, what are you actually looking for? Like, what is your, like, specific relationship goal?
Well, I'm talking to three guys right now.
Okay.
I want to be exclusive with someone, like, in a monogamous sexual relationship, but I don't want it to be serious. At the minute, relationships to me, like, feel like prison. I'm very much, like, give me my passport, I'm free, independent. Ever since I was 18. When I was 18, I moved to Paris. Like, I like complete freedom and space. So I'm scared of a serious relationship where I'm, you know, you're never home.
Okay, bingo. This is your problem.
Oh, what? what?
Because you're putting out mixed, right? So the fact that you're scared, what you want. Because it's going to be really hard to find a quality guy who wants to have a monogamous, serious relationship with no strings attached.
What are the strings?
Well, like freedom, right? Like,
it would have to be someone that was just as ambitious or very busy with work where they didn't have time for anything else but had time to see every now and then. But that's like a needle in a haystack.
Not only that,
he has his own life, I have my own life, and then we have a little life together where, you know.
But the thing is, the little life together is so ambiguous, and one person usually gets emotionally connected.
It's going to happen.
And so your guard is up, girl, and that is why you're attracting men who are perfect for someone whose guard is up.
And what kind of men are they?
Men who don't want to have an emotional connection. They're casual. They're just, it's like, this is like a math problem, Ben. This is why I do what I do. Because it's, your intention is fine, but you're going to attract guys like that. And they're not going to be able to give you that like Venn diagram bit. Because I think you want probably a little bit of an emotional connection. You want to share things.
Of course.
Right. So it's kind of, you're asking for something I don't think is possible. So if I was coaching you like somewhere else, I'd be like, let's look at why relationships are prison, because you could have one and still have freedom.
But I've tried and they all resent me and it's awful.
I know, but you didn't.
But I also work more than the guys.
This is what I do is I specialize in women who are really, really successful.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just all this shit that goes with being successful, right? Because you want what you want. You're smart. You don't have to settle. You want freedom. What's interesting is like, in our culture, is that used to be a man thing,
right?
And now it's a woman thing. And so there's no paradigm, there's no model. So women don't know how to do it. So you can totally have a relationship with the right guy who totally gives you freedom. He wants freedom, but you also have emotional connection.
I can see where that is harder to find, though, for a successful woman to find a man who's comfortable in them being that successful and ambitious. Because when I met my now wife, I was retiring from the NFL, so kind of my career was ending, and I felt like I became her husband. I felt like I lost my identity and who I was, and I was just kind of like along for the ride. And that takes a toll on a man, you know. Even as someone who I had a successful career and I thought I was doing well, but regardless, it takes a toll on you emotionally and mentally. So
it totally does. And my husband had a bit of that.
So sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Did you ever? Not resent her, but kind of get frustrated.
Yeah, 100%. I started feeling
emasculated.
Yeah, I started saying things like, oh, it's just Jana's world. It's her world. Okay, I guess I'm just along for the ride. What I have to do isn't important. Right. Oh, yeah. We had a a lot of issues around that
stuff. It's a thing. But the thing is, because there are men who are at the place where you are now, like you got through that thing right. with her.
Oh, yeah.
So there are men who are single who already worked through their own stuff, and they are looking and they're actually attracted to someone like you, and they want to fit into your life, and they want to support you and not be like, you know, the rock star. So I want you to not be afraid of relationships.
There's three.
I'm afraid of the guys. Like, how did you work through that? Because I had a boyfriend dump me 4 years ago that I lived with,
mm-hmm.
and it was basically, he was so emasculated because he was just a rich kid, and so I was out every day and he wasn't.
Yeah, it's just, for me, it was finding my identity again and finding something for myself. And Jan and I had so much work to do individually. And ultimately, it came down to us communicating, me doing a lot of therapy and a lot of work with myself.
Really?
And a lot of it stemmed from issues of me never feeling I was good enough in life, period. That stems from when I was a child and that, you know, just kind of carries with you into your adult self. So a lot of that was working through that, which I still struggle with from time to time. So, you know, never thinking I was good enough for her or I was never good enough in what I was doing in my life was a lot of the reason on why I was just felt emasculated and felt like I was along for the ride. But again, like Marnie said, there are men out there that are in their 30s that have done that work or don't have those issues and, you know, see an attractive woman. And if they come up to them at a bar, it's like, wow, like that can take somebody, you know, for a whirlwind in a good way.
I've never, ever heard a guy say what you just opened up about, that you like had those issues.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
I know you are. You're amazing. That's so great. So you
thank
want
you.
A guy like that. He's emotionally intelligent.
Right.
So an emotionally intelligent guy, self-aware, can handle you. Right. But you need to do some of the, I think, some of the stuff that he's talking about so that you're open. Because I think whatever happened to you 4 years ago or whatever, you're like, it's like it was a lot.
Well, I was just telling the guys in the room earlier before you got in here off the podcast that someone asked me about my motocross ex-boyfriend from the hills. And I said, you know what happened? I was filming my last scene at Kristen Cavallari's house and we finished it. We all were like outside her patio talking about stuff. So Adrina, Lowe, Kristen and I. And I got a text from my boyfriend that I brought on the show saying it's over. So he broke up with me the minute the show ended.
Wow.
And so, that's the second, that was the first time, but it's happened because I'm on another show in London. So it's happened on that show too. So I just don't have any good.
You don't have any evidence that you can
that there
have
is
it.
A good guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course you would feel crappy about it. That sucks.
They either use me or I emasculate them.
Ben, how you were talking about, you know, you and Jessica and your new relationship flourishing and you kind of admitted to having some issues and to her just kind of loving you regardless of what you have going on. Can you speak on that kind of like in the topic that we're talking about?
Yeah. 100%. How'd you guys make it exclusive? I always want to know that in an early relationship.
Well, you know, I think we can all speak openly about, you know, what our personal preferences are. But for me, I've never been able to date. I don't think I've ever dated anybody like multiple people at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever have, and I don't think I would do it well. Not that I'm against it. I actually kind of wish at some point I would have been able to date and actually just date. But as soon as I start to enter into something, it feels like I can't manage multiple text threads at once. Like it just gets too much too soon. For Jessica and I, as we started, I think because of who she is as a person and her morals and values, I knew very early on if I wanted to try to make it work with her, then I had to be somewhat exclusive, at least be intentional about how we're going to date and not drag her along. So that never really was a conversation other than when she showed up for the first time, I said, do you think this is something that you'd like to see pursued? And if so, I don't want to date anybody else right now. And she said, I don't want to date anybody else either. So it just kind of went like that. And that's how it worked. It happened pretty fast. I think, Michael, to answer your question, for me, I've had a lot of insecurities in dating, which I think most people probably have. But I, after a couple failed relationships, I didn't know if I was going to be able to get back into it and be successful again. Or the other point was I didn't know if I was even interested in getting back into a relationship again. I thought I was pretty good being single. But what Jessica does is she takes everything about me as a single man and enhances it because of her partnership. So moments that I am insecure, she's there to kind of help me and fill that gap. Moments that I need more rest, she's there to push me to get more rest. And so she just takes who I was as a single man. It doesn't take anything away from me, but adds to life. Yeah, there's some sacrifices I've had to make, right? I mean, I can't go out with my buddies every night of the week anymore. And there's some, but those are good and healthy steps. My buddy said this best. And Marty, I really want to hear, because I'm reading more and more about what you've done, and a lot of it is science based. And so I want to hear from that, but I also want to hear if this is a common feeling. Stephanie, I don't know if you could relate with this or not, but when I was getting ready to enter into a relationship with Jessica, I called one of my best friends and I was telling him, hey, I'm scared. I've been single for a long time. My identity is being single. Honestly, like, I've made a career off of being single. When I go out in the public, people recognize me as being single. And the part that I started to realize was I was getting really comfortable getting sympathy because I was single. I didn't know this at the time, but I liked the fact that I could walk into a room and that I, in a sense, could take the victim mentality, and that people would not judge me or criticize me, or they would actually be interested in my life because I was single. They would ask me further questions about who I was because I was single. And I got addicted to it in a sense. And my buddy said this. He goes, nothing that you're saying is crazy just because of the life that you've lived. And he said, I don't know if Jessica is the one or the one preparing you for the one, but what I will tell you is, even though this next stage of life with a partner may not be as exciting or sporadic or free, what it will do, it will make up, it will be more fulfilling, more joy-filled, and more purpose-filled than anything you've done before. And I, at that moment when he texted me that, I made the choice, and I'll end this here because I've gone on and on. I made the conscious choice. I remember in that moment to say, I'm willing to risk giving up the excitement, the excitement, the thrill, the dating game, for the chance that maybe with a partner, my life would be more fulfilled. And that was a scary, scary commitment. But I remember the moment I said, I'm willing to take that risk. And so I think Michael and Marty and, you know, Stephanie and I are still kind of sitting here. You guys can speak to that. And it is something that I just felt recently. I mean, that's four months ago. And it was a big decision for me, again, to enter back into a committed relationship and giving up that freedom.
I think what you said is so profound. Only that, literally, and I can't remember where it was, but I saw you on I don't know what show, and I was like, that dude is addicted to being the victim. Right?
Really?
100%. I think it was on maybe Winter Games or something. You walked in, you were like a mess, and I turned to my family, and I'm like, he's addicted to being the victim. And that, we get an identity of that, and there's an unconscious gain. And what's amazing is you figured out what that gain was, and you decided, what is it that I really want in my life? And your friend said, do you want that as your experience? Or are you willing to be vulnerable and take a risk, let go of that identity and be in a healthy, fulfilling relationship? Just the fact that you were able to own that and then be an action of it, because people all day long talk about, you know, I'm going to change. But the fact that you did it is huge. And it's scary to do that.
These two boys, I'm just so impressed right now.
There's so many out there.
No, but they are really, I don't know.
But they are. But they had to be the shitty boyfriend first.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so you're meeting these guys that are in, I call it manvolution. They haven't manvolved yet. Right? Yeah. So you're kind of get, they're like, you know, their ankles or their
we're gorillas.
They're dragging on the ground.
But it seems like, sorry if I could jump in here for a moment, it seems like it's our long-term girlfriends and wives are the ones that evolve us. How do you find a guy that has somehow managed to evolve on his own? Is that what you want? Well, somebody who's divorced?
Well, no, but somebody who's gone through a big, people don't change unless they have pain. Right. And so someone who's gone through pain is motivated. People aren't motivated to change or be emotionally whole until they're in a marriage with someone they care about or whatever it is, and be like, oh, crap, if I don't fix this, I'm going to lose something important. Yep. Which is why, like, in my relationship after 5 years, because my husband was like, oh, my God, I'm going to lose my freedom. Right. Because he had this definition of relationship where he couldn't do what he wanted to do. So we had to confront it. So there's guys out there that are doing the work, especially today, especially actually in LA, because, you know, we're becoming more conscious and self-aware. So I just want you to find that guy instead of these kind of like, less about
Ben,
that.
You completely nailed it, because I'm the exact same way. The show that I was on in London for 5 years, I wasn't allowed to have a boyfriend unless it was a cast member. So if I had a boyfriend, I would have been fired and I would have lost my visa and I'd be back in LA. So it's one of those things that I just was always not pigeonholed, but I was, you know, single and I'd have like, you know, a kiss here and there with like a cast member. But then coming back here, like on the hills, is everyone is married or in a relationship. And I thought it'd be really like, I think it's great that I'm single on the show because they get to follow, you know, different things that I do, not just, you know, going to the park and playing on swings. So I feel like for my job, I need to be single. And I also think that, I don't know if I have guy fans or whatever, but I'm scared that, you know, I'm going to lose that kind of demographic if I'm in a relationship. Like, I've heard that if you're single in the business, you're more...
You've got more fans and more
you're more marketable because they have more reasons to talk about you. It's, oh, you're dating this person or you're dating that person. New. What's to stop you, Stephanie, from something that Ben said that stuck out to me where he communicated from the beginning with Jessica, hey, this is what kind of I'm looking for, being exclusive with somebody. Are you game for that? What's to stop you from maybe making that statement to a guy that you start to be interested in? Be like, hey, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm willing to give. I'm busy with work and traveling, but I'm able to give, you know, this amount of time. Or is that something you'd want to do?
I could definitely do that. I mean, one of the guys that I'm talking to lives in Chicago. And we just met when I was in Hawaii and we were talking. But, like, obviously, I need to go out there. Or we're, like, maybe saying that he was going to meet me out in London in July. But
yeah, all that just seems up in the air.
Totally. I mean, what is Ben, is your relationship long distance?
It is long distance. She's in Nashville. I'm in Denver. We set a goal where we would never leave each other without having a second or a time to see each other again planned. Stephanie, I'm listening to all this, and I'm not the one to give advice. I honestly have zero advice to give. You and I are feeling very similar things, right? Marnie has spoke to it. Michael has spoke to it. Is, you know, giving up that singleness does make us more marketable. So I had to ask the question, what do I want and what do I see and what do I dream of for the future? Marty, we're sitting here and I'm reading through, and a lot of your stuff is science-based. A lot of it is pulling somebody together based on neuroscience. And you're telling, Stephanie's sitting here saying, hey, I do want at least a partner, maybe not a relationship, but a partner. How does she then go about doing this? Can you give us any insight in how this, like, how she can scientifically go out and find her mate or her man at
Thanks,
a bar?
Ben. I love that. I love that. Well, so first of all, the reason why it's science-based is because you have these like neural pathways that have been ingrained over and over again that when I put myself out there or when I do this, I get hurt, right? So it's normal for you to have your guard up because you don't feel safe.
You know, it's so funny. So I went on a date with actually Ben's friend, Derek Path, 2 weeks ago. And I didn't even realize I did this. But when I sat down, say you're Derek.
Yep.
I walked in. I was late. And I sat literally where Michael was. I like there was like 4 or 5 feet distance. And I didn't even realize that. Until like he went on the podcast and was saying she sat in another country.
Well, I call it, so your brain puts up, I call it like a love shield, right? It's like you can't see it, but a guy can sense it. And this guy, Derek, was like, that was weird. So what we have to do, like if I was going to work with you, is we have to create new neural pathways and sort of get rid of all of the stories that you have going on that you're not safe and teach you how to actually be in a place where you can have what you want and be emotionally safe so that you don't get hurt. But you have to be with a higher evolved man to get that. You can have the conversations that he's talking about. Because the right guy will be like, yeah, let's do it. Or what Ben was saying, okay, we're going to do long distance. What are my expectations? How are we going to set this up? And that's intentional.
Okay, in your book, How to Find a Quality Guy Without Going on 200 Dates, is this something that if I read, it'll kind of be like a guidebook to coaching or
totally. So there's 3 steps to the process. It's reveal, release, rejuvenate. So the first thing is we have to kind of reveal what's at the unconscious of all of this. It's coming out in your I call it leaking. You're leaking, right? You're leaking by you're sitting across. You're leaking because you're saying relationships are a prison. I bet if I looked at your text messages, you're probably leaking all over the place. So we have to really get what...
It's a damn flood.
It's a flood. It's a flood. And that's what's confusing guys is because you're so, you know, you're pretty and you're, and you've got this great like public personality and you're fun. And so that it's like confusing, right? So we have to, we have to get to the root of that. Then we have to release it. You cannot really release it just by talking about it. I mean, I'm a fan of therapy. It's amazing, but mm-hmm. there has to be different elements. It has to be integrated. That's a whole other conversation, but we have to release it. And then rejuvenate is how do you date and show up looking for what you want in a way where none of that stuff is present, which means kind of teaching you how to flirt, how to be open, where to go, what to say. Because there's a gap, right? When you get rid of what doesn't work, then you're like, well, how do I do it differently? Uh-huh. How do I be strong and safe, but also be approachable?
Okay. What is,
you're looking
what is,
at me
yeah,
like,
no,
what
I'm like, I was going to take notes, but like, I have it in my brain.
It's in the book.
Perfect.
Do you have
Did
anything?
You bring books for us, by the way?
No, but I'll get you some. Okay. And my story of the guy in the Tahoe is... Quite interesting as well.
I have one quick question.
Okay.
I know Michael's got something. With texting.
Yes.
Do you have any theories or rules that
yes.
girls shouldn't text first, but they should respond right away? Because that's kind of what I do.
Respond when it's appropriate to respond. Don't play games.
I don't.
Okay, good. No. I also have what I call the rule of thumb, which maybe you guys can appreciate this. Don't send a text message longer than the thumb.
Oh, God, that's good.
Right?
That is good.
That is good because, first of all, guys have like 7,000 words a day and women have 21,000 words a day.
Yeah.
So when they get something like this, they're literally like, oh, God.
That's I wouldn't
like
even
hearing,
read it.
We need to talk.
Even when my wife sends me a long text like that, I'll look at it and I'll put my phone down and kind of prepare myself.
Like,
I have no idea what this is going to be about.
Like, I'm not
and I'll just like pick it up later and be like, okay.
God. I mean, I can look at them. So number one, rule of thumb.
That's
right?
Really funny.
Do not, just don't.
Okay. So is it wrong that I never text first, that I wait for them, but then I just respond the minute I get it?
Well, it depends, right, where you are, because you have to meet a guy's energy. So if he's texting you all the time and then you're just doing like one word answers or you're never initiating, he's not going to be clear. Men are simple-ish.
We're children.
Yes, we're children. So they need to know, they need to like approach, especially today. Men are really super hyper-vigilant about over-approaching. So if you never, like I've had clients, the guys were like, I just, you never reached out. Like, I don't get it. Cause we've gone on like 3 or 4 dates. So then it's the like, hey, I was thinking of you or, you know, like there's this cool thing. Like, what do you think? You know? So you want to, and that's that prison thing you got going.
It'll be like 2 days of full on talking, FaceTime, but then like 5 days can go by and we don't talk. And I always want to be like, hey,
but you can though.
Really? Cause yeah. I don't want to make it look like
But
I don't want it because
if the guy is really interested, then number one, he'll probably keep communicating throughout. There won't be like a week that goes by, in my opinion. And number two, if you do reach out and he's actually interested, he'll be happy to hear from you.
Exactly.
And it'll wean itself out if he's not.
But
that's not going to turn him off.
It's not. But
really,
but here's what's more interesting. Why are you asking those questions? Like, I don't want you to be like, I don't want to do that. You're like totally all in your head about like this big manipulation to try and get a guy to do this.
Well, no, I'm just really worried that like I'm being too much.
I know, but you're.
I don't want to be because I like literally in London, I learned be mean to keep them keen.
Okay. That is not what we do at Dating with Dignity. But here's the thing. You will attract a guy who is in it for the chase only if you do that.
Great. Okay, because I don't want that. I just want to be myself and nice.
Yes, I want you to be nice too.
I am nice.
I know.
Yeah.
Text.
Oh my God, I'm going to text him.
I can help you. I can figure out what you should say.
Do you know, Stephanie, what is there anything that comes up for you when Marnie talks about like what you're scared of or your whole mindset about relationship is a prison? Like, do you know where that comes from for you? Like, why you have that outlook?
You know, I've just never had a serious relationship. I've never had a year relationship. My longest one was when I was 17, and it was 11 months.
Yeah, there's something to that. And by the way, have you guys noticed how her energy is totally softened just in this conversation?
Yeah.
You came in, and you were like business girl, like, whatever. And now you're like, you're open. There's a difference.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah, so it's weird because my parents met on a blind date and they are so in love, best friends, been married like 40 years or something. And my brother and his wife been together 12 years, obsessed with each other. So I've got all these amazing role models. And so I think I've set the bar too high. But when I see true love, like I do with my family, like, and I know it exists, I keep waiting for that because I know it does exist, not
but
to settle.
You can't say, like you just said, I want true love. And then like over here, you're like, but I just want a Venn diagram thing.
Oh, that's like later when I'm like ready to get married.
Okay. So you have to figure out how to find your Venn diagram guy. What was your role in your family? So like, were you the good girl? Were you the overachiever? Were you the rebel? What was your role?
At first I was a really good girl in science club and horseback riding. And then I got introduced to drugs when I was 15. So that was very bad. They like not just a nice drug like weed, like very heavy ones. So I OD'd a couple times, in and out of rehabs, and was arrested twice. I mean, I had a very long struggle with drugs. And then, yeah, so I was, you know, a nightmare. I was a rebel. Then in my early 20s, I like got together, started working, and I haven't like.
And you started to be an achiever.
Yeah. And all I want to do, like the reason I work so hard, all I want to do is just give my parents everything. I just want to give them $1 million. They don't need it, but like they saved my life so many times. Like my mom broke into my window for one of them. Like I just love them so much that the reason I work is to make them proud of me, to like say thank you for saving me.
So if I can sort of piggyback up on what you were saying, my guess is that because you were a trouble, you know, for a while, that now you're sort of like overcompensating, right? The like, am I good enough yet? Am I good enough yet? Am I good enough? Right? And so that's part of all of this stuff. So your guard is coming from that time in your life, then you're getting all this validation from being the achiever, right?
But is it false validation if I'm getting it from, you know, press and...
No. It's real, but it's your safe, happy, comfy zone, right? Because you never really had a time because you were either in trouble, right? Or you were like really successful. And so now you're getting all this validation from being successful. So that's why it's like changing it up, right? Like Ben was talking about, changing the identity is really scary because you've only been drug girl or achiever girl. So who are you?
I don't know.
Let's figure it out. We need to figure it out.
Marnie, before we wrap up and our time is done with you, I'm going to ask one more question. And Ben, maybe you can chime in about this too. So I know in your book and everything, you talk about increasingly confusing gender roles.
Yes.
And this is something from the outside, being married, looking in, with all of the Me Too movement and everything like that. What is your kind of mindset with men approaching women nowadays and, you know, giving them compliments, and how do guys know what to say to women?
It's such
a thing. And Ben, did you come across that since you've been, you know, obviously you're not single anymore, but when you were single, did any of that come into your head when you were dating?
I mean, yeah, I think the best advice I've ever been given is just to be like unashamedly yourself. And so when it comes to what I'm saying or what I'm doing, I have to respond and always talk from a place of now, as I get older, what I'm actually trying to feel and say. I'm done jumping around and trying to play games and not communicate clearly. I have to just speak from what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, and what I want out of this certain situation. And then, honestly, the communication feels a lot clearer and better, and it's helped my relationship so far. So I guess in the 4 weeks or 4 months that I've been dating, it's working.
I think a big thing is, and there's a new study out that says that one of the things that men are now worried about on a regular basis that never existed before is, do you think I'm a perpetrator?
Yeah.
Right? So just imagine the average guy who's like texting, or can we meet for coffee, or can I walk you to your car? The back of his mind, he's like, if I ask her to walk, you know, I can walk her to her car, does she think I'm going to like rape her?
Right.
Is she going to, right? So that's why it's really important as our roles and the power sort of is shifting, is for women to really be in their sort of, I'll call it feminine energy, but to really do those things like let a guy know where you stand and what you want. And that's through direct communication, verbal and nonverbal. because a guy, especially a quality guy, is going to err on the side of like pulling back. And so you got to make it loud and clear, like what's okay and what's not okay.
All right.
That is right there. The best conversation that we can have right now is where men and women are coming together to say, how in the world can we date each other well and make each other feel the most respected, the most appreciated, and the most enjoyed through that without coming off creepy. If you could become an expert in that, I am definitely reading your new book as well.
Awesome. Dating with Dignity. It's all about dignity.
Where else can our listeners find you there, Marnie?
You can go to our podcast, The Dating Den.
All right.
Ooh. Ooh.
Love it.
Subscribing now.
Subscribing now. Come on. I'll coach you on the show.
Oh, I'm not letting you leave this building without talking.
Okay, good.
Marnie, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate our time. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. For everyone trying to get into their beach body shape, I know it's hard to consistently go to the gym and work out and make yourself, you know, get to the place you want to be. It's hard, especially when you don't know how to handle the thoughts and obstacles that hold you back from making progress with your body in the shape you want to be in. Most people who lose weight gain it all back. Why? Because most weight loss plans just tell you what to do while you're on the plan, not after the fact. With Noom, you'll lose the guilt and learn how to develop a new relationship with food. Look, it's time to try something different. Try Noom. It's a weight loss plan in the palm of your hand, literally right on your phone whenever you need it. Noom just asks you to commit 10 minutes a day to you. That's it. Take 10 minutes for yourself. With Noom, you'll have personalized training and your own support team for less than the price of a single appointment with a nutritionist or personal trainer. Your goal specialist is a behavior change professional, nutrition expert, and fitness trainer all in one. Noom is designed for results. It's out with the old habits, in with the new. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/Dean. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/Dean to sign up for your trial today. Again, that's Noom.com/Dean. Start losing weight for good. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun with Marnie. I think we all three of us learned something there.
I love that.
The dating part of life is maybe one of the most difficult, and it's always intriguing. I mean, I think you can make a really good living right now being an expert in dating.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this whole podcast is successful on the idea that you're bad at dating. So just talking about dating seems to be a hot topic today. So it's people like Marnie who study the art of dating and comes up with advice for people like myself and Stephanie, and even you, Michael. You're married, but you're still dating. Absolutely. You're still dating your wife in a way that I think I'm always interested to talk to. You brought up a good point, and I'll close with this. At the very end of this, that conversation, there's a topic that I think will be coming more increasingly more and more talked about in the generation we live in, and it's how do men respond to women, and how do women respond to men in the dating world, and how do men now do it without feeling like a creep, and how do we flirt, both sexes flirt with each other, or how do you flirt with your partner if you're interested in the same sex? How do you flirt in today's world without coming off as a creep or like you're trying to get somewhere that you're maybe not? So that is a conversation that I'm sure this podcast will talk about for a long time, but it's not why we're here. And Michael, I know there's more to talk about and more emails to read.
Absolutely. Mark, you got any emails?
I do indeed. You know, when people want dating advice, they come to their favorite dating podcast hosts, Stephanie Pratt, Mike Costin, and Ben Higgins. This is from Anonymous. She says, my boyfriend and I have been fighting because we both feel the other doesn't do enough. I always say it's easy to buy flowers every once in a while, and he always says, well, I can do little things for him too. So my issue is, what is the equivalent of flowers for a guy? He tries to eat healthy, so treats are out of the question, and I'm a broke grad student. I want to do things to make him happy and feel appreciated, but I'm not very creative, and I can't think of anything good. Help, I suck at gifts. Do you have any suggestions?
All right, Anonymous. I do have one that came to mind that my wife and I do together, and that is write notes.
Oh.
So get some Post-it notes, okay? They're like 75 cents at the CVS, whatever it is. And go get some if he gets you flowers or whatever, or even if you want to do it. Write a note, write something sweet, say how proud of him you are, whatever the reason may be. Stick it on the mirror in front of his side of the sink.
Or oh my God, put it in his pocket.
Yeah, put
his
it in
his,
yeah,
pocket.
Yeah,
oh.
Somewhere, just put it so he sees it, and I'm telling you that'll melt him.
Wait, that's the best idea. Michael, you need to stop being so great.
Tell my wife that.
Oh my God.
That's good.
Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's different for each person. I'm a big bourbon fan. And so if somebody were to buy me bourbon, it feels like me getting flowers. Like if I walk home to a new bottle of bourbon I've never had, I'd be jacked, like so pumped up. And just like flowers, it's gone over time. So then you'd have to get a new one and, you know, reinvent it. I really like the note thing though. I mean, I'm thinking I'm not like, I really don't love the small little acts. Like, you know, and I don't love gifts because it kind of stresses me out. But the idea of getting a note and opening up my like lunch pail or opening up my suit jacket and seeing a note from my significant other, really, I'm just imagining it would melt me.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. You should do that to Jessica when she's flying home. Like right when she's got her like luggage and then slip it in.
I get it. We don't want to, she'll listen to this. So I don't.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh no. Damn it.
We can't let her hear.
Those are good pieces of advice, guys.
Yeah, good one.
A couple of ghosted emails. Oh, we get a lot of these. Michelle says, I went to Australia a little bit ago and dated a guy. There was an immediate connection. Then I had to come back to the States. And since I've come back, he has completely ghosted me. There has been no communication since. There feels like there was no closure, but it's been hard for me to move on. Have you guys ever ghosted someone or been ghosted? What does it mean? Any advice?
Mark, how often... you know, do you get these types of emails about ghosting?
A lot. I really do. We do get them a lot, and it's sad. It's sad that this is how we treat each other in this day and age, this generation we're living in, as you put it, Ben. It's sad that we do this to each other because a little bit of communication. Look, if you live in America and he lives in Australia, there wasn't a very bright future anyway. You might have tried a long distance for a while, but even so, you still let the person know, hey, gosh, that was great. I really enjoyed that time. I don't think it's realistic for us to pursue this any further, but best to
people don't like
luck.
Confrontation.
That's the thing.
It's uncomfortable. They don't want to communicate that.
Yeah.
So, Mark, is this a thing that, I mean, was happening in your day? Like, when you were dating, do you remember ghosting being a thing?
I've, on this very show, talked about being, I call it the triple ghost. I was ghosted by three consecutive women. Oh. One after about two dates, one after a month of dating, and one after 2 months of dating. They just vanished off the face of the earth because they didn't want to tell me, look, it's over. They just said it's better to stop answering my phone and never speak to him again.
But Mark, how many times did you try? Like, did you try like 5 texts, like in a phone call, and then
this
give
is
up?
Pre-text, I'm afraid to say, but there were a lot of phone calls. I tried a lot.
Oh, you did?
More than I should have, probably. I should have gotten the message sooner. But you know how you do that in your brain? You're like, oh, they're just busy. Oh, they just
rationalize and justify everything for the time change. I don't know. I mean, I've been there too. Even when I was dating and single, I've been ghosted. I did ghost, but at the same time, I guess it's easier from a marriage perspective, where it's like now it's like, well, clearly they're not into you. Because when I was really into somebody, I would keep texting them or I'd keep contacting them. So, or I would tell them, hey, I'm going to be unavailable for the next, you know, 48 hours or whatever it may be. So I don't know.
So Michelle, I know this isn't the news you want to hear, but
it's over.
It's over. And he just doesn't want to tell you that. Yeah. And Jamie has another one. She says, I met a guy through work and he asked if I wanted to grab drinks. Oh, I asked him if he wanted to grab drinks with me. And he said, yes, we had so much in common, tons to talk about. He kissed me goodnight. He texted me when I got home, and I responded saying, yes, thank you for tonight. I had a fun time. All signs pointed to him wanting to go out again. He didn't respond to me saying I had a fun time, but that's okay. The next day, he texted me again, asked me how my day was going. I said, my day's going great. How about yours? No response. A week has gone by, and I haven't heard from him at all. Am I being ghosted? Why would he text me after the date if he wasn't interested? I'm so confused, but I do not want to text him first.
He's seeing someone else.
Is that what it is?
Has to be. I bet that relationship was moving faster than this girl coming up to him being like, hey, let's grab a drink. So he was being polite. They worked together. He had fun with her. But then maybe he's been talking to another girl for like a month and that was progressing faster.
And the fact that he would text her back, but he wouldn't respond to what she asked.
That's weird. That's a power play, I think.
That's just rude.
It is.
That's all it is.
Oh, yeah, he's an asshole, Jamie.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what he's doing. So this is...
So, Ben, what do you think it is?
if Stephanie's going to create a story, I'm going to create a story. It's one of my favorite games.
Ben's like, actually, this is how I really got Jessica. Let me tell you.
Yeah. What he's doing is he's going to play. He's not interested, but he doesn't want to be a jerk, and he doesn't want to feel like a jerk internally. So what he's going to do is he's going to text these random texts at random times that make no sense and never respond, so that if ever comes back to him through one of her friends at work that you ghosted her, he'll say, no, I texted. Look at my phone. I texted her here. I texted her there. I just wasn't getting her text, or I wasn't seeing it, or this was just confusing. It got confusing at the end, because he does not want to have the excuse on him, especially from somebody that knows people he knows, that he just left her high and dry.
Well done, Ben.
Well said, sir.
I've been there, done that.
Do you think any of it too, with kind of still continuing the communication, is like keeping her in his back pocket?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Actually, I think that here is the heart, like the ugliest part is, like Mark said, it's a little bit of a power play where he can keep her asking these questions without just closing it off and having the confrontation that doesn't allow any one person to have any more power. So yeah, at the end of this, the really ugly part of this is that he's just dragging her along until what happens one day when he gives her the phone call, just in case it doesn't work out with this other person. If Stephanie's right, he can give her the phone call and be like, you know, I know it got weird for us and I know it got confusing, but I'm still interested, because she's still holding on. She's still wondering, is this ghosting? Is he not interested or not?
So it's not ghosting. He's benching her. He's keeping her on the bench in case the person who's in the game right now falls out of the game.
Ugh, guys suck.
She's a role player. That's terrible.
It is terrible, and it sounds like advice he got from some dude. Like, dude, you want a girl to be eaten out of your hand? 100%. Here's what you do. You text her, and when she responds to you, you don't respond.
God, we're the worst. We're the worst.
That's going to be my main message for my daughters when they get older. Guys are the worst.
Oh, wait, my dad told 100%. Me to never get married. We were watching The Bachelor, actually. This is like 7 years ago, and he was like, Steph, would you ever go on that show? And I was like, hell yeah, I'd be the bachelorette. And he goes, no, on The Bachelor, like one of those girls. And I was like, oh, dad, like, you don't know, I'm not competitive. You know that. And he was like, so you would never like fight for a guy and be very desperate to, you know, get that guy or get married? And I was like, no, I'd just hand him over probably. Like, I don't like competition. And my dad was like, Stephanie, that makes me so happy. I want you to know that mom and I don't want you to get married ever. We will support you forever.
They've been married for like 40 years, though. Yeah. How do they sit there and tell you never get married?
I don't know.
Are they secretly miserable?
No, my dad just doesn't, like, he sees all these like crazy girls going for like a guy. And it's like, in his mind, he's just like, my daughter is like acting like that, so desperate to get a man. Like, I need to tell her, like, she doesn't need one. Like, we're not the kind of family where it's like, we want grandkids.
But I see what you're saying. Better that my daughter is strong and independent and has her own life than is out there begging for a guy somewhere.
And,
I see
and
it
she'll
to
turn
that
into
point.
Me, 33 and single and talking to dating coaches. Woo!
The team at the Help I Suck at Dating podcast, we love to keep our temperature just perfect. If that's in life, if that's what we drink, it's getting a little hot in the room. But it's not too hot for a nice, cold, refreshing drink, and it's going to stay cold through Brewmate. The mission at Brewmate is to create the perfect drinking experience by ensuring every sip of your favorite adult beverage is just as refreshing as the first, no matter where life takes you. Their diverse product line ensures a perfect match for everyone, from insulated coolers for slim and craft cans, unbreakable nosing glasses, and insulated canteens that keeps a full bottle of wine at the perfect temperature for over 24 hours. That's something I'm interested in. No more half-drunk beers, diluted cocktails, or wasted bottles of wine. It works with hot or cold beverages. Great for keeping alcohol cold, but amazing at keeping things warm as well. So you can use it for coffee, tea in the morning, and end of the night with a nice cold one. The perfect date night would be to fill this up with some wine and take it to the beach for a sunset picnic. Ooh, we're feeling special right now. I filled mine with some coffee this morning from my own favorite brand, and when I got home at the end of my workday, it was still hot. Right now, Listen up. Right now, Brewmate is giving our listeners a special discount of 15% off your first order when you go to brewmate.com and use our code Vanessa. That's 15% off when you use our code Vanessa at brewmate.com. Let's spell it for you here, okay? 15% off when you use the code Vanessa and you spell it BRUMATE.com. Make sure you use code Vanessa at brewmate.com.
Ben, that might have been the best ad that's ever been done on the history of Help I Suck at Dating.
We got a couple of podcast crashers coming in during our show here.
Hey, Jared, is there anything that you want to tell the listeners?
It's April Fool's!
Oh, we got you guys so good. I bet you the listeners didn't even notice that we had switched the hosts up on that.
I had no idea.
Guys probably liked it more, actually.
How'd it go? What did we miss?
Man, we got deep.
Yeah?
Didn't we, Steph?
Yeah, can I, like, stay on this podcast? I don't want to go back to podcast after this.
Oh, poor Wells.
We had a dating coach on. It was epic. I've learned so much.
You guys had Marnie on.
Yeah, yes. She was fantastic.
Yeah, she's lovely. Ben, were you able to share anything with the listeners about how great it is to be not sucky at dating?
I just talked about how my weaknesses in dating have brought me to find a person that complements my weaknesses with their greatness. And as a result, we're going to flourish like a phoenix into the sunset. Dean and Jared, on your time at Help I Suck at Dating, do you feel like you've became more educated and any better at understanding love, sex, relationships?
I don't want to speak on Jared's behalf, but when he started co-hosting this podcast, he was single. This guy's getting married in literally 3 months.
Yep, I got dumber since coming on this podcast.
I started this relationship single, went through a relationship, and now I'm single again. So at the end of the day, maybe I'm not really learning too much, but...
You're just learning more about yourself, which will set you up better for the future. When
Jared's going to thank Help I Suck at Dating at his wedding toast. Be like, I just want to thank Dean and all the Help I Suck at Dating crew for this.
It's in my vows.
So Jared and I were at a club in Connecticut this past weekend together, and we like had this little section to ourselves. We're standing in front of the whole crowd, and Jared just starts looking at me, and he starts chanting, Help, I suck at dating. He starts getting the whole crowd into it. Help, I suck at dating. And ever since then, I think at his wedding, I'm going to be trying to do the same thing in front of everyone.
Just for full clearance, Dean and I were the only two chanting that, by the way. The whole club was not chanting that. Dean and I were just in the corner. Help, I suck at dating.
Yeah, we were catching a lot of bad looks. Hey, but guys, thanks for hosting our podcast for us we were... I guess...
it was so much fun.
Vanessa and I hosted Pratcast today.
How was it?
It was great.
Cool. This is great, too.
Cool beans, guys. Cool.
Where's Jana at?
Jana did Almost Famous with Wells.
Okay.
So they did that.
And I did Wind Down with Ashley.
Nice.
We got real emotional. Ashley cried. I mean, that's obviously no surprise, but...
Wait, we literally have every podcast. We have Almost Famous, Help I Suck at Dating, Pratcast, and Wind Down. Oh, we're missing Scrubbing In. That's the only one.
Did Scrubbing In have a sub, or they just go Norms? They did their own thing? Oh, come on. Seriously.
Did Stephanie talk about her looming date with Derek?
No, but I just told Amy that you asked me out when you left.
Yeah. Duh.
Okay. Wait, I thought I was going to embarrass you.
Whoa. Left where?
That wasn't a secret.
Oh, I was trying to embarrass you.
I'm pretty sure I asked you out after that football game that we went to together.
Yeah, Amy just reminded me that.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't remember?
No, I just don't.
Hold on. Can we put some context in there? Because I'm lost.
Compliments go like right through me. I don't really... And I always think like things are a joke.
I thought we spent a magical afternoon together at a football game. Rams-Eagles, week 16.
It was so much fun.
And then you asked her out on a date after that?
Well, no. I come to find out, even just before they started recording this episode, that she was trying to flirt with the guys two rows ahead of us. And she had a big crush on Sean McVay, who's the head coach of the Rams.
I know who Sean McVay is. Yeah. He's married. Don't worry about it. You're fine.
No, he's just got a girlfriend. Yeah. You know, Sean was my coach when I played for the Redskins.
Oh, my God. You're my connection.
Hey, Stephanie, just so you know, I'm still sitting right here.
Yeah, you have a date with Dean, okay?
Wait, that's actually awesome, though.
Yeah. I think you were too young.
Yeah, that's what it is, sure.
How old are you?
And I was on my phone too much, remember?
Oh, that sounds like something I would say.
Yeah.
Because I don't like phones.
You were on your phone literally twice as much as I was the entire time.
Oh, Ziff, I was looking at the coach.
Let's talk about Derek's and yours date coming up.
Wait,
in
how
Napa.
Old are you?
I'm 27. I turn 28 next month.
Let's talk next month. Great. Oh, my God, my birthday. Oh, I'm April.
11th? Oh, it's April. Oh, I guess it's April now. It's April 1st.
April Fool's.
April Fool's. I didn't realize. I'm April 17th.
Oh my God, we're both Aries?
Wow.
Huh.
So much in common already.
Are you going to Napa this weekend?
I'm not.
Huh. Two Aries.
Crash and burn.
Oh, horrible.
Well, we can talk later.
Great. Can't wait.
The coach wants me to start dating.
Ben, how is your relationship with Jess going?
I mean, fantastic. It's going really good. Yeah, she's a sweetheart. I really just have had a blast. It's been fun. It's made my life a lot better and a little a lot more clear.
Yeah.
I guess overall, just there's no issues, which is crazy. It's just really fun and it's exciting, and my life has just gotten better with her in it. So
you'll get there. Those issues will come.
But yeah, overall, really great. And I spent my birthday last week with her, and she found me my favorite bourbon. So like I said earlier on the podcast, the replacement for flowers for a man is bourbon. A bottle of bourbon.
Wow.
I will say I'm living to follow you guys on Instagram because you guys are both so adorable.
Oh, Dean.
Every single picture you guys post, I get a little flutter in my heart. And I'm like, that's just the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Dean, you're always there to support me, to love me well. And I feel better after coming out of this podcast. I do. I feel more prepared for my relationship with her, my friendships with all of you. And that's what this podcast is all about.
You boys are just the cutest, most adorable people
just beautiful.
Ever.
Yeah, we know.
I've had so...
You can keep telling us, though.
They really are the cutest, sweetest guys.
Well,
we try.
You guys are.
Dean's the cutest.
Anyways.
There's hope for us all, single ladies.
Let me wrap this up with some thank yous. We need to thank Third Love. Go to thirdlove.com/Vanessa for 15% off today. Noom, go to noom.com/Dean to start your trial today.
Love Noom.
And since if your day's not full enough, go to brewmate.com. Get 15% off your first order by using the code Vanessa today.
Okay. Vanessa got two codes this week.
Wow.
I swear to God.
Majority.
Not one code in my name.
Beauty
thus far.
Over bronze this there, Jared.
What are all the codes ridiculous. On lockdown typically?
It's everyone. It's Jana.
Jana?
Oh, it's all Jana. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What about...
I'm going to slide a mic in there one of these days. People are going to be confused. What?
Yeah.
Also, did you guys get sandwiches out there?
The ice were delicious.
Sandwiches, so good.
So delicious. They're all over the place. You should find them. They're the Dutch crunch bread, so the sandwiches are all crunchy and delicious. I had the Elvis sandwich. It was pretty fantastic.
I had the Hugh Hefner.
I had the Hugh
bomb.
As well.
Mm. Yeah, really roast good stuff. Turkey. So find Ike's Love and Sandwiches near you. It's loveandsandwiches.com. It's at Ike's Sandwiches on social media. And download the app for more.
Lovely. And to all our listeners out there, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Help I Suck at Dating. To our hosts today, Mike, Ben, and Stephanie, thank you guys so much for being in on our elaborate April Fool's joke.
April Pools.
Whoa.
Pool story, bro.
We'll see you next week for another episode of Help I Suck at Dating. Be sure to tune in because maybe we'll suck a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.